a buddy check piece of legislation, and with all the stuff with Washington, divisiveness, the back and forth, and people and social media, people forget some of these bills that are passing are interesting. That buddy check, the outreach effort for veterans, can you tell us about it?
Yeah, sure. This is a bill that I partner with Joni Ernst on. She's a senator from Iowa, who is a combat veteran herself. And what we did is take an American Legion program, the Buddy Check program that they started, which is really a focus. They establish a couple of weeks a year where they focus on peer-to-peer, veteran-to-veteran outreach. What Joni and I want to make sure we do is get the VA to make this a permanent effort, right, so that at least 1 week a year, the VA is also focusing on how we ensure peer-to-peer outreach for our veterans. You know, we owe our veterans everything, our security, our safety, our freedom. And we know from talking with veterans that when they come back, they often really don't know where the other veterans are. They don't know what services are available. They don't know what kind of veteran service organizations are out there. And we also know that when veterans are struggling with PTSD, with other mental health challenges, anxiety or depression, that it is that peer-to-peer contact that can be just life-changing for them, because really only another veteran can really relate to some of the things that are impacting a veteran right now. And so that's what the bill is about. It passed the Senate unanimously, and to your point, at a time when there's a lot of divisive talk, it's also a nice reminder that when it comes to our veterans, there's a lot of bipartisan interest in making sure that we make sure that they're enjoying the quality of life they've earned and deserve.
Senator Hassan, foreign policy side of things, just because there's a lot going on, we heard from the military, the generals who testified, General Milley and others, after the evacuation of Afghanistan, just about maybe some intel breakdown. Maybe we didn't have the intel we thought on the ground. But were you surprised at all? Do we have the intel we need on some of our threats? For example, China, that supersonic nuclear missile test seemed to catch a lot of people by surprise. Do you have some concerns about our intel these days?
Well, so first of all, I, as you know, I had concerns about the way the Biden administration went about withdrawing from Afghanistan. I don't think we should have given a date certain and signaled to our adversary, our enemy, when we were going to leave. And I think that created a situation that made our intelligence even more crucial, and I do have concerns, and it's why I support a full review of what happened leading up to the withdrawal. In general, I haven't been briefed yet on the latest intelligence and the test that you just mentioned from China, but we do need to constantly focus on whether our intelligence capacity is where it needs to be, and whether we're focusing, whether it's counterterrorism or whether it's dealing with an adversary like China, we do need to make sure that we are devoting our resources and our technology to the appropriate places. So I look forward to getting more briefings on that, but it is really important that we stay mobile and nimble and use new technology and be clear-eyed about where our threats are coming from, and that's something I'll continue to push to do.
Senator Hassan, you know the calendar's moving quickly. We're just talking about the Red Sox. We're into October, and, you know, people are already looking ahead in November. At some point, you would think Democratic leadership in your chamber, the Senate and the House, would vote on this infrastructure bill that you've spoken about, bipartisan effort, but the bigger reconciliation. Is a bigger budget and the infrastructure bill in the next week or two, is there going to be a vote by your leadership? What do you expect to happen? Will the spending package be less than $3.5 trillion? And when I talked about inflation at the beginning of the show, is inflation now putting some cold water on the size of the budget spending? I know Senator Manchin is worried about pouring more money into the economy right now with inflation so real.
So, first of all, I continue to urge my colleagues in the House to just pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Had strong bipartisan support here in the Senate. The need for repairing roads, bridges, dams, making sure we have a clean energy and resilient grid, and making sure that we have internet, high-speed internet for everybody is still there. It's a job creator, and it will really help launch us into a new level of competitiveness. As we focus on getting that through, it's also really important that we address the priorities that we hear about from Granite Staters, and I know my fellow senators hear from their constituents. constituents too. People who aren't back in the workforce yet because they can't find childcare. People who can't afford prescription drugs. We need to deal with that. We need to continue the tax cut for working families that we did in the American Rescue Plan, that child tax credit, so we can lower people's costs. I don't know what the final number will be in a reconciliation package. We are in the middle of very robust negotiations. Mm-hmm. I think given where some members of our caucus are, I expect it to be less than the $3.5 trillion, a number that is the expenditure over a 10-year period. Mm-hmm. So this is a 10-year budget, essentially, we're talking about,
right.
Or a 10-year timeline. And look, the inflation concerns are real. I understand them. There are a lot of different reasons for the inflation concerns we see, including log jams in our supply chain related to COVID-19. I'm pleased that the administration went ahead and took some action to make our ports open 24/7 and to take some other actions to help alleviate those supply chain log jams.
Right.
But the reality is, until we all get vaccinated or get the vaccination rates up to where they need to be so we can get on the other side of this pandemic, we're going to continue to see the pandemic wreak havoc with supply chains and other economic factors. So that's a piece of this, too.
Senator, before I let you go, one of the pieces, and I've heard from bankers, the banking commissioner, or actually some of the leadership in the House legislature concerned it. One of the things that was floated, WMUR had a story in this, too, a week or so ago, was to pay for the bigger spending, the reconciliation is growing the IRS and requiring regional banks to report transactions in personal accounts of $600 or more. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people on that, thinking
right.
That's outrageous. Is that something you'd have concerns about?
Oh, yeah, look, I'm hearing the same things that you're hearing. We have passed on those concerns to the negotiators and to the administration. And, you know, we do have to pay for this. I mean, one of the things that you mentioned is concerns about the whatever the top line of this bill is. We need to pay for these investments, but these investments are also critical in terms of allowing us to grow this economy and make sure that people can get back to work. The infrastructure bill is also important in terms of some of the things it would do to mitigate the supply chain issues. One of the things in the infrastructure bill would help our commercial trucking industry hire
right.
more drivers, because that's a piece of the logjam right now. So there are a lot of different component pieces, all aimed at easing some of these supply chain challenges, reducing inflation, getting our costs back under control. But this all starts with making sure that as we invest in critical needs for our people and lower costs for families and small businesses, that we also pay for what we're doing. And
right.
We will continue to look closely at how to do that, including allowing Medicare to negotiate for prescription drug costs.
I hope the latter would happen sooner than later. It would make a lot of sense. Senator Maggie Hassan, before we let you go, real quickly, Governor Sununu has been on the show quite a bit in the last week or so, criticizing the delegation, criticizing you on some of the issues in Washington. I only want to ask you, as you're a former governor, he's a governor in his third term, you were a governor, you made the switch, you know, you went for the run for the U.S. Senate. Do you think Governor Sununu is going to do the same?
You know, it doesn't change the way I do my job. I'm just focused on getting this infrastructure bill across the finish line, seeing what the final provisions in the budget package are, and making a decision about whether I'm going to support that, really listening to the people of New Hampshire. And whoever my opponent for reelection is won't change that focus.
All right, Senator Hassan, go Red Sox. Thanks for joining us. Good morning, New Hampshire. We'll get you back again soon.
Okay, thanks, Jack. Take care now.